relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom. One of the greatest things about having a national radio show, as well as a television show on Newsmax, is the opportunity to dive into big issues of the day for an extended period. This isn't your regular show where we've got 2 or 3 minutes with a guest and we have to solve weighty issues in 180 seconds. No, we give ourselves the luxury of longer discussions. That's why we do one-on-one. And I'm especially excited about this one because I want to learn. It has to do with what I deem to be one of the key issues of the age, culturally, scientifically, and when it comes to the next generation. And it has to do with the transgender extremism we are witnessing across this country. Recently, the Daily Wire released a film called What is a Woman? Matt Walsh's film. Even though they are theoretically competitors, I would recommend you to watch it. And in it, he interviews medical professionals on why they, quote-unquote, transition children. And here's one of the doctors with a very strange answer to a question from Matt Walsh.
In reality, in truth, okay?
Whose truth are we talking about?
The same truth that says we're sitting in this room right now, you and I.
No, you're not listening.
If I see a chicken laying eggs and I say that's a female chicken laying eggs, did I assign female or am I just observing a physical reality that's happening in the world?
Does a chicken have gender identity? Does a chicken cry? Does a chicken commit suicide? Let's frame it because you're talking, you're trying.
A chicken has sex like any biological organism.
A chicken has an assigned gender. But a chicken doesn't have a gender identity.
So that's a medical professional asking whether a chicken cries or a chicken has feelings and denying the objective truth of gender in the biological world. What has this wrought on our nation? Can we stop it? Let's talk to a very brave medical professional who is also interviewed in that movie. She is Dr. Miriam Grossman, MD, and we are delighted to have her here on America First.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Gorka.
Dr. Grossman, let's begin by the credentialing. This is not an attempt to argue from authority, but you are a medical professional. I think the fact that you and all your colleagues take the Hippocratic Oath is one of the key aspects we have to address here. But tell us what your area of medical expertise is to begin with, where you went to school and what you do today.
Well, I graduated from New York University Medical School. I'm board certified in child, adolescent, and adult psychiatry. I also did some training in pediatrics. And I'm a psychiatrist. I have worked in a lot of different venues. I've worked with people of all different ages, with all different kinds of conditions and situations. I've been working as a psychiatrist for almost 40 years. And I think that's about it. I've written some books, but I don't know whether you want to get into that now.
We will. I'm going to mention Unprotected, a campus psychiatrist reveals how political correctness in her profession endangers everyone. And also, You're Teaching My Child What? A Physician Exposes the Lies of Sex Ed and How They Harm Your Child. Let's start with why did you write these two books? There are so many topics you could cover within your field. Why did you focus on the adolescents, on children, and what schools are teaching them? Give us your mission statement.
Well, why did I even write any books at all? Honestly, I never set out to write any books, but my books were a result of the many, many hours, hundreds, thousands of hours that I spent with patients over the years. And I came to notice that that politics really was playing a very big part in my profession, and it had seeped into psychiatry. It seeped into the field of medicine, and so I recognized that that was harming my patients in a big way, and that's why I started writing about it. My first book, Unprotected, was about the students that I saw while I was a psychiatrist at UCLA. I worked there for 12 years. I saw hundreds and hundreds of students, and each chapter in that book deals with a different subject. For example, sexually transmitted infections and how kids are not getting medically accurate information about the risks of those infections. I believe that the risks are minimized, the risks are whitewashed, and that kids are being given a message of how important their sexual freedom is and their sexual rights, and that their sexual health is no longer at the, you know, no longer a priority. And as a doctor, their sexual health has to be my priority. So I found myself at odds with a lot of the messages that young people were getting. That's just one example. That was one chapter. There were many other examples. For example, the topic of abortion. I also felt that young men and women were being told, being led to believe that the primary emotion following abortion is relief. And while that may be true initially, the research really does show that in the long term, there are other emotions that come around. There's sadness, there's regret. And I felt that it was really important as a psychiatrist to be aware of that and to make patients aware of that, although it was often too late. So there were these many different issues that as I began to do my research, I recognized that political correctness, as it was called at that time, had really made inroads into psychiatry, and it had really impacted the kids that I was seeing in my office.
Well, we'll talk about how those inroads were made, but let's just do a snapshot of the second topic. Can you give us just a diagnosis very briefly? What is, for those who have no idea, who haven't seen the movie What is a Woman, what is happening to young girls, to young boys across America today? This isn't just one or two doctors here and there. Tell us the state of affairs when it comes to this transitioning by medical professionals.
The state of affairs, Dr. Gorka, and I say this with sadness, is that my profession has been captured, and the education, what kids are being taught as facts are not at all medical facts. They're being taught a set of beliefs about what it means to be male and female. These beliefs are not based in biology. For example, biology says that sex is determined, established at the moment of conception. And we know that to be the case. Anybody that's taken sixth grade biology knows that to be the case. But young people are being told, in fact, we are all being expected to make this huge departure from reality. And we are all being told to believe that sex is randomly assigned at birth, as if it's not related to biology, as if it is not something that is permanent, and as if it can be changed at one's whim.
Yeah, this is the very peculiar phrase we hear again and again and again, and we saw it in Matt Walsh's film, where doctors say that the sex, the gender of a newborn is a quote-unquote assigned at birth, as if a doctor stands there and he scrubs and, you know, flips a coin and says, yeah, that's a boy. Oh, no, it's a girl, as if it's just some capricious act of randomness. We are talking to Dr. Miriam Grossman. MiriamGrossmanMD.com is the website. The Twitter is Miriam_Grossman, and the books are Unprotected and also You're Teaching My Children What. You're listening to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka. If you enjoy our deep dive discussions, never ever miss an episode. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Subscribe. It is absolutely free. You'll never miss an episode. Write us a 5-star review. It makes a difference. And share the links with those who don't know. This is America First. If you haven't done so already, please register for our Stand With Israel tour. 10 days later this year, we are going to the Holy Land with my superb Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife, Debbie. We are going to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. Israel has dropped all their COVID restrictions. I'm not vaccinated and I'm going, so you've got no excuse. And by the way, even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. So reserve your places today. Call 855-565-5519 or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's 855-565-5519, standwithisraeltour.com. Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to mypillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code GORKA. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code GORKA. Dr. Grossman, I'm before I get incensed and start asking, you know, trenchant questions and my blood pressure increases, let me stay at a very basic level. I'm a PhD in political science. I'm not a medical professional. A lot of them in my family, though. Let me ask the obvious layman's question. If you're a doctor, you can't be dealing in subjective opinion when it comes to things like chromosomes or what medicine you are giving a female or what organs a female has vice what organs a male has. So the idea of political correctness at all intruding upon the practice of a science-based practice, At what point does it not collapse in on itself? Surely when you are talking about human biology, blood chemistry, the organs of the body, these are things that are non-negotiable. Am I missing something?
Not at all. You're not missing anything at all.
So how does this happen in practice? Let me ask you that question. What are the transmission belts? You used the phrase political correctness. How does political correctness inveigle itself into the medical profession? You have been practicing for decades. How did it seep into what was an erstwhile science-based profession?
What happened is that activists, a small group of very vocal activists, both from within medicine and without, succeeded at slowly coming in and producing articles, policy statements, forming committees, work groups within the professional organizations that came out with certain suggestions on how to approach the issue of transgender children. And these groups are very vocal, and they basically will bully, and I use that term, I don't use it lightly, but there is bullying that goes on to the extent that disagreement is not allowed, is not permitted. Dissenting voices are immediately canceled, or they're called names and they're labeled transphobic. You know how that works.
Yeah.
And slowly but surely, these ideas make their way into the top ranks of the professional organizations. I believe that one of the big entrance ways of the transgender ideology was through sexuality education. And my second book, You're Teaching My Child What, did have a chapter about gender. It came out in 2009, which is a long time ago. But when I learned at that time that kids were being told, and they were being told in the early 2000s in sex education, that gender was completely separate than biology, I immediately knew that this was going to be a very dangerous thing to tell children, a very confusing thing to tell them. And now we see the results of telling children that their biology doesn't matter, and it's how they feel that matters.
And is it not also a function, not purely of bullying within the profession and the professional associations, but when it comes to the actual patients, the children, that the parents are often emotionally blackmailed with this argument that your child is searching for an identity, they're in the wrong body, and if you don't let them mutilate themselves, take the hormone therapy, whatever it is, they will commit suicide. So there's also that darker aspect of how pressure is exerted upon these families, correct?
Well, yes, the pressure is exerted on the families in many different ways, aside from what you just said. Do you want to have a dead daughter or a living son? That type of thing. But it's also exerted in the way that parents are told that they are the problem.
Yeah.
Even though their child may have, there's a lot of comorbidities that are associated with a gender confusion, such as depression, anxiety, neurodevelopmental disorders, being on the autistic spectrum, addiction to social media and other things, the parents will be told that they are the problem and that the child is suffering because they are not accepting them, which is a terrible thing to do. Parents, most of these parents, the great majority of these parents are loving and devoted parents who, from the moment that they heard they were pregnant or the moment that they signed the papers, the adoption papers, have been completely devoted to their children.
Yeah.
And for gender therapists to sometimes in the very first meeting and sometimes in front of the child to undermine parents and to undermine their parental intuition, which is a powerful tool. Parental intuition should never be dismissed by any doctor or mental health provider or teacher. Parental intuition is very important. And these gender therapists that parents are advised to go to with their child are undermining all that.
Yeah,
they are causing terrible distress to families.
Which should be the opposite of what a medical professional is doing. The Twitter handle is Miriam_Grossman, two S's. The website is MiriamGrossmanMD.com. You should watch the film What is a Woman, but her books are unprotected, and you're teaching my children what. If you enjoy our show, please support those that make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell. He has now been canceled at Walmart for political reasons. Let's show the man some love. Go to his website, mypillow.com. Over 51 million pillows sold. The only pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. He's got 150-plus other products. Use my name for up to 66% off. That's mypillow.com or call 800-829-8468. Let's show Mike some love. 800-829-8468. Mypillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. All right. I'm leery of doing this, but nobody does this in the mainstream media, so let's talk brass tacks, Dr. Grossman. When a young girl or a young boy, pubescent or prepubescent, is targeted or falls into this miasma of wanting to transition, what does that mean chemically? What does that mean surgically? What does this seemingly innocuous word transition actually mean in real life for these children?
Well, it's a dangerous path to go down. And the path begins with social transition, which means using a new name, new pronouns.
So that's the relabeling. That's, you know, you're no longer Fred, you're now Jane. And you are no longer he, you are she.
Well, it's presenting to the world as the opposite sex. And so while that may seem like a rather benign thing, and it could be benign, but it's very often not, because kids who social transition are more likely to go on to medically transition. And medical transition is a dangerous path to go on. It involves, typically it would involve taking puberty blockers, which means that the normal biological process of puberty, which every child needs to go through in order to become an adult.
Which affects growth, bone density, all kinds of things.
Oh, of course. It affects the entire body. And of course, the brain is part of the body. So it affects thinking, emotions, all kinds of cognitive processes, sexual development. It really affects everything. I mean, puberty is a huge developmental process. It's the biggest, aside from development in the womb, you could say it's really the most significant developmental process that a person goes through.
Right. So that's the chemical. So there's the social, there's the chemical, the pharmacological. What is the surgical process entail?
Well, after the puberty blockers, almost all kids that are put on blockers then go on to be put on opposite sex hormones, estrogen or testosterone. And then that, of course, causes the physical changes that and emotional changes that we see in as boys grow into men and girls grow into women. So it begins to occur in the child. And then after that, some people go on and have surgeries such as mastectomies and genital surgeries, which of course lead to permanent sterilization.
Right.
Can also lead to sterilization.
Let me pause there. You said permanent sterilization, so removal of breasts, removal of sexual organs. The clip we played from another medical professional from the film, she explicitly says this whole process, puberty blockers, everything else, is reversible. She actually uses the analogy of pressing pause on a tape deck, that you can just pause puberty and then press play again a year later, 5 years later, 10 years later, and everything just starts again and everything's fine. Is that a scientific statement of fact?
That's what families are being told across the board. And we have no evidence, no high quality, strong evidence that that is the fact whatsoever. All we have is data that was used on kids who have a disorder called precocious puberty. This is a totally different group of children who have a medical disorder. They have abnormal hormonal levels in their blood, and they are therefore given puberty blockers to prevent them from going through puberty at a young age, such as 6 or 8. What we're doing now with kids is experimental. And to interfere with normal puberty and to say that it can be turned on and off I don't understand how medical people are making that statement. They know that the research is shoddy. They know that this is experimental and that the kids that we've done this on in the past constitute a specific group, a group that is not similar to the group that we're talking about now, which are the kids who have rapid onset gender dysphoria, the kids that are developing it as teenagers.
Yeah.
So, this is just...
There's basically a dearth of information. There's a dearth of case studies, and there's a dearth of time. We don't have long duration data sets of what this actually means to a child, and that is the lack of responsibility of people who are promoting things they cannot know to be true because we do not have. Requisite data. Hold on 1 second. So we talked to Dr. Miriam Grossman, the author of Unprotected and You're Teaching My Child What. This is America First, coming to you from the relieffactor.com studios. If you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else, please try this 100% drug-free product that is providing relief from inflammation to almost 500,000 Americans, me included. If you've tried everything else and failed, please try the 3-week quick starter pack by going to relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less, taking morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of the 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and thousands of others. That's relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I again with the caveat that I'm not a medical professional, but you know, I've been on this earth for 51 years, Dr. Grossman. When I was a child, when I was a teenager, in the 80s, there was a phenomenon that was big. It was talked about a lot. When it was discovered that Princess Diana suffered from it as well, people were more willing to discuss it. And this was the phenomena of anorexia, of bulimia, of girls starving themselves, having the wrong impression of their body shape, and so doing things to their own body to try and mitigate their own perception of themselves as unattractive or overweight. Back then, it seemed to me that this was often a group phenomena, that it was a function of peer pressure or the influence of the environment, and in many cases happened in groups. Is this perhaps what we are witnessing now, which seems to be disproportionately occurring with young girls, that the transitioning seems to be more girls than boys? Could this be a replacement activity? Could this be the new anorexia, the new bulimia, or is it something completely unrelated?
Oh, there's a lot of similarities there, of course. It's called a social contagion.
Explain that.
What it means is that certain feelings and behaviors can spread within friend groups. And it certainly also spreads online. Of course, we didn't have online back then with bulimia and anorexia, but we do now. And yes, and I see it in my practice. It's a well-known thing that regarding gender confusion, this has been documented in studies that have come out recently. Dr. Lisa Lippman's study on rapid onset gender dysphoria, and she was the person who coined that term And one of the things that she noticed in her research is that many, many of these girls belonged to friend groups in which one or more of the friends became transgender together, or more or less in the same time frame.
So this could be a new version of what we've witnessed before, but with the input of social media, it's accelerated or it's more prevalent. Do we have numbers? How many children, how many girls, what proportions, or do we not know?
Well, a condition that used to be one in many tens of thousands of children could now be as high as, well, one study out of Pittsburgh showed that 10% of kids in high schools there were identifying as, you know, what should I call it?
Cisgender. That terminology is cisgender, right?
Yeah, I prefer not to use the terminology.
Yes.
But sometimes we are forced into it. But I do want, I know we have to finish. I want to just say this. We don't have the evidence, Dr. Gorka, that with all of these interventions, which are dramatic interventions, the hormones, blockers, and surgeries, we don't have evidence that in the long term, they really even help the mental health of these individuals that are suffering.
Yeah. No. We have the Jay Green's paper from Heritage. We had him on our show as well, that shows a disturbing increase in suicidal ideation for those who have undergone transitioning. So the idea that this is a panacea or this solves anything seems to be not undergirded by the data. Let me be naive or ask a layman's question. I do not understand how somebody who takes the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm, to first do no harm. Have you met these doctors? I mean, have you spoke? How does somebody who is a doctor, who is meant to be in the profession of healing, is fine with removing a 14-year-old girl's breasts or giving Lupron to a young child, which is used to chemically castrate sexual predators in prison? So have you? I'm struggling here. This is not good for a show host to struggle with words. How does a medical professional justify this to themselves? Have you heard arguments, Dr. Grossman?
I share your astonishment. I share your lack of words. The only thing I can say is that I think the medical professionals who go into this field are either genuinely believe the narrative and they haven't bothered to look at all the evidence and the reality on the other side of it, or they are afraid, or they're in it, they're just walking to the bank.
Yeah. Making money. Let me ask you, we don't clear questions in advance, we don't have talking points, but I see you as a very brave woman. I'm grateful for you speaking out, for putting your name to your views publicly, not just here, but in that film as well. Have you paid a personal price, a professional price for your commitment to the truth, Dr. Grossman?
Have I what?
Paid a professional price, a personal price.
Oh, price.
Yes.
Oh, I have. Yo, yes, I have paid a price. Yes. Well, I've paid the price of not being able to be hired in many places. I've paid a price of colleagues shunning me. But overall, I think the rewards have been greater than the price.
And you're doing this because you believe in the Hippocratic Oath and you believe in the science?
Well, I wouldn't be able to sleep. The stories that I hear, the stories that come to me and that I read about are just so distressing. And I just can't believe that this is all going on. I can't believe we're doing this to children or to parents. And I just have to do what I can.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. You have a conscience and keep doing what you do. I have one more question to ask you. We're talking to Dr. Miriam Grossman. She's the author of Your Teaching My Child What? And the book Unprotected. You can follow her on Twitter at Miriam_Grossman, and also please check out her website, MiriamGrossmanMD.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else only to fail to find relief, please try this incredible drug-free product that is providing liberation from pain to almost 500,000 people, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Yvonne from California. This is Yvonne's story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. That should be your story. That could be your story. There's only one way to find out, but it's very easy. Go to ReliefFactor.com or do the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose? Accept the pain. Call today, 800-500-8384, or just go to ReliefFactor.com. That number again, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Last question, of course, the easy answer is just read everything that Dr. Grossman has written, buy her books, go to her website, follow her on Twitter. But I'm going to ask it explicitly. What is your initial advice to parents or even children who find themselves in this position? I was at an event recently where a parent came up to me and said, my 18-year-old son now says he thinks he's a woman. What should I do? I didn't have anything I could say because I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a medical professional. I prayed for this woman and for her child. Where do they begin, Dr. Grossman?
There is a lot of information and support for parents online, a tremendous amount that didn't exist a few years ago. So sure, my website, but also there's many other places. There's an amazing organization called Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine, SEGM.org. There is GenSpect. I mean, there's so many places. Once you begin to dig and to make contact with other parents, Partners for Ethical Care, you get onto those websites, you connect with other parents, and you'll see that there's just an abundance of information and help. I also want to tell people about a Substack account called PITT, P-I-T-T, Parents with Inconvenient Truths About Transgender. Unbelievable essays written anonymously by parents who have gone through this, who are going through this.
Let me get that again. Is it PITT? What is the Substack?
Yes.
P-I-T-T?
Yes. P-I-T-T.
Okay, amazing. I'm so glad I asked you. So first, Partners for Ethical Care, then the Substack, P-I-T-T. That's a microblog site that anybody can access. And then the Society for Evidence-Based Medicine.
Gender Medicine, SEGM.org.
SEGM.org. That's
SEGM. And then there's, I would say, GenSpect. GenSpect.org also has incredible. Parents have to get educated and they have to listen to the people who have turned around after their transitions.
Yes.
And stepped up and started talking about what they went through.
Yeah,
those are the detransitioners.
Right, there's an amazing video. I think the individual has spoken several times at Heritage of somebody who detransitioned.
Yes.
There's also somebody who has talked about their experience who's in the movie, What is a Woman? I have only one thing left to do, to say I wish we had thousands of Dr. Grossmans in America. keep doing what you do. You are a warrior for the truth, and I'm glad that we have somebody like you out there who's fighting for it every single day. It's Miriam underscore Grossman, the website Miriam Grossman MD, and all the other sites we just mentioned. If you're in that situation, don't give up, dear friends. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
It is noteworthy that the percentage of women who register to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line. Women are not without electoral and or political or maybe precise, not and or political power.
When the teleprompter says, reread the line, you're not supposed to read that bit of the teleprompter. Happy Friday, dear friends. The senile old coot in the White House just gave perhaps one of his worst presses. Mistake after mistake after mistake. He used the word presidency instead of pregnancy. He just repeated the line, repeat the line on the teleprompter when he was supposed to actually re-say the line above. And then lastly, I was just listening to it as we started the show. So he didn't respond to the assassination of one of America's best friends for hours and hours and hours. His predecessor, my old boss, President Trump, already made a statement. I'll read it to you momentarily. But for some reason, it wasn't important to the White House. When he did, he actually said, this is the first time someone has been murdered with a weapon in Japan. These are his literal words. First time murdered with a weapon in Japan. Now, I could say funny things here, but it is inappropriate. I guess he's never heard of the samurai weapon. He's never heard of the samurai sword. He's never heard about what the imperial system of Tojo did during World War II to people it didn't disagree with. And I bet he's never heard of the Yakuza either, the Japanese mafia. He's a moron. He's an imbecile. And or both. But that's our problem. Let's talk about what happened not far from Nagasaki. First things first, Prime Minister Abe, when I was part of the presidential transition team, our job, because we have this peculiar system in America that you win an election in, you know, early November, and you don't get to run the country, you don't get to move into the executive offices in the White House until the end of January, there is this massive multi-month transition period. It's very peculiar. I guess it has something to do with the original distances and time it took for things to change in the 1700s or 1800s. In the UK, if you win an election, you know, you can kick the Prime Minister out of 10 Downing Street by the end of the week. Anyway, you have to have a multi-month period where the president-elect's team has to prepare to govern. Those are formally called the transition teams. I was in President Trump's transition team before I became his deputy in the White House. As such, at the time, I was working for General Mike Flynn, who was the National Security Advisor designate. And our job, and I'm proud to have done this day in, day out, since we won the election, was to connect President Trump to other heads of state, to have the congratulations extended personally over the phone, video conference, what have you, and then to establish those primary contacts between those who are in office and a man who's never been a politician and who has just become or is about to be sworn in as the most powerful man in the world. And I think, if I remember well, I think nobody beat us to the punch in terms of who congratulated the president first and who had a substantive conversation with him first, but for Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, the youngest prime minister ever of Japan, and the prime minister who served the longest in office. And from that moment onward, from that first telephone call, those initial teleconferences, a very, very strong relationship, a friendship bloomed between President Trump and Prime Minister Abe. So much so that at one point later on, he would appear at a surprise birthday party for the First Lady Melania Trump. Yes, the Japanese Prime Minister would do that. And they golf together, and you've seen the videos of them feeding the koi fish and everything else. So first things first, we've lost a great friend. Yes, he left office for health reasons, so he wasn't the Prime Minister. But America has lost a friend, and also the international conservative movement has lost a great leader, because he was part and parcel of that international conservative movement that was typified by Nigel Farage, Brexit, President Trump, MAGA, and everything else. So let's listen to President Trump's words. This is a really bad news for the world. Former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is dead. He was assassinated. His killer was captured and will hopefully be dealt with swiftly and harshly. Few people know what a great man and leader Shinzo Abe was, but history will teach them and be kind. He was a unifier like no other, but above all, he was a man who loved and cherished his magnificent country, Japan. Shinzo Abe will be greatly missed. There will never be another like him. Signed, President Donald Trump. How did it happen? Earlier today, I was listening. Oh, and by the way, what does the left do? They insult him. NPR, NBC, CBS, they called him divisive. They called him extreme. They're already, the man is dead. There hasn't been a funeral. He's still in the morgue. And they insult his memory. It's filthy. It's rank. It's disgusting. How did he die? I was listening for quite some time to my friend Dan Bongino today on his show. I texted him because it was fascinating. He's former Secret Service. He had a former colleague of his come on the show. He actually mentioned that I texted him while he was on air. It was a catastrophic failure of the personal protection detail. This individual, who was a former member of the Japanese Defense Forces, he served in a maritime capacity for, I think, 4 or 5 years, clearly unstable. If you listen to the statements he's made in custody, this is not a mentally sound individual. It's less political and more psychological. But this individual was within 20, 30 feet of the former prime minister for an extended period of time. You can watch the footage. You can see the photographs. And there was nobody watching him, at least from what we can tell. And then he detonated the charge in what was a homemade weapon. I've posted the picture of the weapon. It looks similar to a sawn-off shotgun, but from the electrician's tape, the block of wood, the clear parts salvaged from a plumbing supply store. This is a homemade weapon. Also, when it was detonated, when it was fired, there was a huge plume of white smoke, which does not happen with normal propellants that are used in modern cartridges. So this may have been some kind of black powder device or using a different type of explosive concoction. But it never should have happened. The conclusion politically in terms of the policies of Japan is that if you're crazy, if you're a criminal, you can always get a weapon. Japan has some of the strictest gun laws in the world. It is nigh impossible to legally obtain a handgun in Japan. It didn't matter. This individual, this 41-year-old former serviceman, made one. And now the great leader is dead. We will have more news, more updates as we progress. It's Friday. It's Ask Dr. G Anything. It's Second Amendment Friday. We will be talking to Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. The number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Don't forget to subscribe. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, America First. Never miss an episode. You're listening to Salem News Channel.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.